Hello, friends. Welcome to the bonus story for Jason Ford's testimony. What a testimony. Oh my goodness. It's awesome. Unfortunately, while we were recording, we had a lot of technical difficulties. That means that there were parts that needed to be taken out of the interview, and that's what you're about to watch. There's four of them that are somewhat about different topics, so I don't really know how to introduce them, but they're quite interesting, honestly. So, yeah, I don't really have much more to say, so I'm just going to let you to the stories and enjoy.
He's the guy that I had met in treatment before this happened. They could actually, he said he could see in the unseen realm. And he started telling me stories about how he could see angels and demons. And that was kind of my wake-up call that, wait a minute, I don't understand everything that's been going on with what I've been experiencing. And maybe there's a whole lot more to this. And, you know, that's kind of a whole nother segue. But that's where I started realizing, okay, this stuff is real. I think that this might be some sort of darkness or demonic force that I've been dealing with, because none of this makes sense. It seems to be wanting to convince me with this messaging that the reason that I'm going down like this with alcohol is because I chose to be here to do that, and that people would learn from it. So it's kind of that typical whole, well, you choose to come here and then you learn your lessons. And apparently my destiny was to come here and go down as an alcoholic and show people that this can happen to anybody, no matter how successful they are. That was kind of the BS that I was putting in my own head, but I don't think it was coming from me. I think it was like, that's what it was trying to convince me of. And I was buying into it because I'm like, well, there's no other rational explanation, I guess. This, my life has taken a sideways turn that I don't know how to get out of this. Yeah, no, I got sober, but it was a process. The sobriety came when all this stuff stopped, quite honestly. But to answer your question, as far as like the working goes, it was very difficult because I would get back into work and I would kill it. I would do a great job. I'd be right back on track and I'd be doing, you know, excelling at work, you know, doing the typical, I'm number one in this category. And that would last for a few months. And I was dealing with this stuff as soon as I would get home, you know, the weird stuff, still the visitations with the orbs and things. And it seemed like no matter where I went, this wasn't geographical at this point. I could be in Denver, I could be in New Mexico, and I would get that same feeling. And I would look over and there you go, another manifestation of some sort of craft. And I'd get those videos. I'd even kind of jokingly send them my buddies at that point, because I'm like, check this out. They're even here in like New Mexico. And they kind of almost just laugh it off because we didn't know what to do at that point. But yeah, holding a job at that point was so difficult because you're exhausted. You're not sleeping. Even if I was sober, I would go through periods of sobriety. But yeah, eventually, of course, I got sober. But it was a process of eventually going off to a long-term treatment center. And I went for 90 days, was essentially like going to jail, which is just doing classes all day long. It wasn't faith-based. They did have some Bible study that I went to because I started reading the Bible probably around 2019, 2020. And I was trying to figure out, like, is there something in the Bible that can explain this to me? Which I think there is, but I didn't have the context. I didn't have somebody that could show me like Genesis 6, or if you mix in like Book of Enoch or things like that. I just had the perception that, oh, well, maybe I should go to Ezekiel because I know he saw lights in the sky, and I would read that. So it was very, you know, pick and choose without the big story. And I was so isolated, I didn't really have resources. And people have to remember, when I started experiencing this, the UFO topic was pretty fringe, believe it or not. It's all over the place now. But this is 2018, 2019. This stuff is just starting to come out, like government-wise and things. So it wasn't widely talked about. So it was tough to hold a job. And then you just start going, because I still need to take care of my kids. So I'm just like dipping into retirement and I'm just blowing through that. And so ends up to the point where that's why you get so desperate and hopeless, is you're like, I'm just not going to be able to function. It's like game over. I would tell myself that all the time. It's game over. You had a good life. I don't know what this is, but time to go. And that, which is exactly, I think, what this force wanted. And I remember I'd written a book at this point. It wasn't a very long book, but it was about everything that I had learned about like identity and how to be careful with identifying as an addict or an alcoholic. Like, you already know that you can't drink, but going through life as an alcoholic or an addict, I thought personally, and I was open about, you know, not being a blowhard about it, but just consider the way you label yourself, because there's a lot of power in words and thoughts about yourself. And I felt like treatment at that time had become like a revolving door, where I saw people come into treatment and they would leave treatment with the same identity that they came in. So when they get out of treatment, it'd be like, oh, well, you know, I'm an alcoholic now, or I'm an addict, or I'm this, or I'm that. So now I got to go to, and I'm not saying you don't do the work. I did, like, you know, AA meetings and things like that, but it felt like it was a cap. And the cap was, it certainly wasn't addressing the things that I was experiencing from a quote unquote supernatural standpoint. So I felt like, well, there's got to be a different mindset. And I would have that book in the back of the Uber. So I'm like, well, I might as well market it, right? I'm driving around all day. So I would have the book in the back of the rear of the passenger seat, and had a lot of great conversations. It opened up a ton of killer conversations with people where I could help them, they could help me. I was there about 5 days, and it was amazing. Like, the recovery wasn't easy for the next month or so. I still had that double vision, but I didn't even care. I was like, you know what? Maybe I brought some of this onto myself. Maybe this is my fault for being separated from God for so long, not taking my hints. And I was kind of beating myself up a little bit. But as I was at this new, and by the way, I had a friend that had brought me over to his home. He had a sober living, and he's a really good friend. And it was awesome that he brought me over there, and he just let me kind of stay on the couch and get better for a full month. And this was exactly more of what God was trying to show me, which was, I remember one day as I'm sitting on the couch, probably 2 weeks in, I hear one of the guys, I call him a kid, you think he was 23, comes down the stairs. I never really talked to him. There was like probably 12 guys in that house, fairly good sized house, becomes running down the stairs, and I can hear him freaking out. And he's talking about how something's been choking him out in the middle of the night. And he's like, and I hear him in the other room telling one of the other guys, like, he's in a kind of a panic. He's like, no, dude, it's real. I'm telling you, it's real. This thing's choking me out in the middle of the night. And I had kind of coincidentally, by no coincidence, about a week beforehand had been watching something, because I was starting to research more into this demonic stuff. And something had come up about what they call the old hag, which is kind of an entity that a lot of people have worldwide experienced, like a dark entity, kind of an old witch looking thing that, you know, chokes people out in the middle of the night. And I heard him kind of explaining it. So I went around the corner. I was like, hey, man, I'm like, can I talk to you for a minute? And I brought him in the other room, and I said, hey, you know, does the entity, does it look like this? And he's just like, yes, dude, yes, that's exactly it. But he's so caught up in the experience and freaked out that he's not really listening. And I told him at that point, I said, hey, listen, bud, I go, I don't know what religion you are. It doesn't matter. I'm like, I wasn't religious. It doesn't matter. It's like, what you need to do is you need to end the experience. So you need to tell it, you need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Next time this happens, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. But he's still so caught up in the panic of everything. I can tell it's kind of going in one ear and out the other. And the point I'm making with this story is, sure enough, you know, after I get out of this house, it's maybe a month or two later, I get a text from the guy that owned the house that let me stay there, who was a buddy of mine. And he's like, hey, I know you don't do a lot of social media and stuff, but if you didn't hear, so-and-so killed themselves, which is this kid that I was talking to. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, well, that doesn't surprise me, because I think I know maybe six people now that have killed themselves in and out going through treatment. It's sad, man, because that unseen realm, we discredit it as somebody's crazy. It's some sort of, you're having hallucination, you're in psychosis.